Franz Liszt, Totentanz, 1849, Lecture 2.
We return to our discussion of Liszt's Totentanz, and with that discussion, a rather lengthy and necessary discussion of virtuosity, the macabre, and Romantic era excess. Now, it's in April of 1832 that our young Hungarian pianist, Franz Liszt, then 21 years old, goes to Paganini's second Paris concert. And again, I would read from Alan Walker's marvelous biography of Franz Liszt. In the lives of most great men, there sometimes comes a blinding flash of revelation when they see their future destiny clearly marked out before them. Liszt's blinding flash occurred in response to hearing Paganini play. As he listened to the Italian wizard, he experienced his own artistic awakening. Paganini and his violin seemed indivisible. Here was a violinist who not only played the violin better than his rivals, but played it seemed, as well as it could be played, a rather different proposition. For all its dazzle and dash, the Paris virtuoso school had failed to produce a comparable phenomenon among pianists. The Paganini of the piano had indeed yet to appear. This galvanizing thought had a tremendous effect on Franz Liszt, and it's now a matter of history. That role Liszt determined to carve out for himself. 2 weeks after Liszt went to this Paganini concert, he wrote a student of his, Pierre Wolf, and I would quote from that letter, dated Paris, May 2, 1832. "For an entire 2 weeks, my mind and fingers have been working like two lost souls. I practice 4 to 5 hours of exercises every day, thirds and sixths and octaves and tremolos and repetitions of notes and cadenzas, etc. Ah, provided I don't go mad first, you will find in me one day a true artist." "And I too am an artist," cried Michelangelo the first time he beheld a masterpiece. Your friend, myself, cannot leave off repeating those words since Paganini's latest performance. My God, what a man, what a violin, what an artist! Heavens, what sufferings, what misery, what tortures in those 4 violin strings! His expression, his manner of phrasing, they are his very soul," unquote. Yes, indeed, Liszt was both dazzled and presented with his own future when coming face to face, or should I say, ear to string, with Mr. Paganini. Some background on Franz Liszt. Born in 1811, died in 1886. Born in 1811 in Rating, Hungary, his father, Adam, was a steward at the Esterhaz Castle, the same Esterhaz Castle where Joseph Haydn had spent so much of his career writing music for the Esterhaz family. Liszt is an able pianist at 7. He begins composing at 8, and his concert debut is made at the age of 9. But really, Liszt's career begins at the age of 10 when he moves to Vienna to study piano with Karl Czerny and Salieri, the same Salieri, unfortunately maligned by that movie. In any case, Karl Czerny had been a student of Beethoven's. He was a very important pedant and general musician in Vienna for the first half of the 19th century. And Czerny has given us tremendous amount of reminiscences of everyone from Beethoven through Liszt. And so Czerny remembers the young Liszt, then 10 years old. He was a pale, delicate-looking child, and while playing, he swayed on his chair as if drunk, so that I often thought he would have fallen onto the floor. Moreover, his playing was completely irregular, careless, and confused, and he had so little knowledge of correct fingering that he threw his fingers all over the keyboard in an altogether arbitrary fashion. Nevertheless, I was amazed by the talent with which nature had equipped him. I gave him a few things to sight read at our first lesson, which he did purely by instinct, but for that very reason in a manner that revealed that nature herself had created a great pianist. Never before had I so eager, talented, or industrious a student. From the ages of 12 to 19, Liszt continues concertizing over a fairly large area until he approaches burnout at that ripe old age of 19. Having, he felt, seen it all and done it all, he goes into semi-retirement in Paris in 1830.